Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come. Romeo Montague and Juliet Capulet, two names most of you are probably familiar with. They meet and fall in love in William Shakespeare's classic tale of star-crossed lovers. And yet, the tale doesn't really have a happy ending. Spoiler alert if you haven't read it. But the story has endured because of many memorable moments. You see, despite the storyline with these two warring households, the Montagues and the Capulets, and these two young lovers, there were many memorable scenes, and one of them that comes to mind for many people is in Act Two of the play, the famous balcony scene where Romeo and Juliet are waxing poetic back and forth about what the value of a name really is. Juliet says to Romeo, "What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet." And she encouraged Romeo to deny his father and refuse his name. And Romeo responds, "Well, Juliet, if you would just call me love, well, then he'd be new baptized, as he put it. He'd take a new name." What's in a name? Last weekend, many of us, I'm guessing perhaps even all of us, heard again the familiar Christmas gospel, sang the classic Christmas hymns and carols. We heard from Luke chapter 2 and that beautiful story that God tells us of when his son came into this world. And we heard the angels sing, and we saw the shepherds go to Bethlehem. And now today, on the eighth day, we get to the next part of the story. And we get to the one verse which Pastor Rosh just read that follows that beautiful account from Luke chapter 2 of the Nativity. And it's a verse that I think a lot of times we might just easily pass over. But today we're going to spend a little time focusing on that verse where Luke writes, "On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived." See, Romeo and Juliet may not have had a lot of use for names, but when it comes to the name of our Savior Jesus, we know that the answer to what's in a name is a lot more than they might say. Jesus, that name is the name that was given to him before he was born. The angel Gabriel announced it to Mary, to Joseph as well. Paul called this name in our second lesson the name that is above every name. This is the name that tells us who he is, what he has done for us, what he's going to do for us. And so if we ask what's in a name, well, when it comes to the name of Jesus, everything. And yet before we look at Jesus' name, it's maybe important for us to step back and take a look at another name we heard this morning in our worship service. In our first lesson, you heard some familiar words. Words which we speak almost every worship service. We'll speak them at the end of the service today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Those words which God gave to the high priest of Israel, Aaron, to speak over 3,500 years ago have been spoken by God's people as a blessing ever since. And God promised that as those words were spoken, he would put his name on his people and he would bless them. But it wasn't just any name. Maybe you noticed that as you looked in your service folder or even just up here on the screen that the name God chose for them to use was the Lord. But maybe you see how it's spelled there with all capital letters. And there's a good reason for that. When God gave his people a special name in the Old Testament, it was the Hebrew name Yahweh. And this was his covenant name, the name that reminded God's people that he was the God who keeps his promises. He's the God who's going to do what he says he's going to do. This name, though, the Yahweh, or the Lord, as we call it, wasn't used by the Jews. It seems after a while, because they were so afraid of misusing God's special name, they just stopped using it. They figured that way they wouldn't misuse the name of Yahweh, their God. And so whenever they would read the scriptures, in fact, they would come across this name and they'd decide, well, we're going to read a different name instead. And they used the Hebrew word Adonai, which means Lord. And that tradition kind of continued into other Bible translations and even into our English translations, where you'll still see the word Lord used instead of Yahweh, but they'll capitalize it. So you know this is God's special name. Now maybe you're thinking, okay, Pastor, that's interesting, but what does that have to do with anything? Well, let me tell you, the name for the Lord, Yahweh, it not only has an interesting history, but it also has a very, very interesting meaning. And the Lord is the one who gives us that meaning himself. In fact, it's in Exodus chapter 34 where we find what is sometimes called the Sermon on the Name of the Lord. One time when Moses, God's great prophet Moses, wanted to see God's glory, the Lord wouldn't allow him to, but instead he spoke his name and explained exactly what that name, Yahweh, or the Lord, means. He said, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. You see, the Lord was the name that God gave his people to remind them that he is a God who always keeps his promises. Both his promise to punish sin, but also his promise to forgive sin. And that seeming paradox that God could both hate sinners and love sinners, that he could promise to punish sin and yet forgive it, that seeming paradox really is something that's hard for our finite minds to grasp. And yet the Lord had a plan all along that kept both of those promises. He had a plan all along for someone to come into this world and to step into our place under God's wrath for our sin and to earn the forgiveness that we could not. And for thousands of years before Jesus ever arrived on earth, God's people had been waiting for that someone. They had been waiting for that person who would be their promised rescuer. And when Jesus came, that's just what they got. In fact, that's what Jesus' name means. Now that we've looked at the name of the Lord, you can really fully appreciate the name of our Lord Jesus. Because Jesus, in Hebrew, it was just a common name, Yeshua. It was a name that a lot of Hebrew babies had. It was a name that meant salvation is from the Lord. And yet when it was given to this very unique Hebrew baby, to God's own son, it took on a whole new meaning. Because Jesus really was salvation from the Lord. And so when God's people all those years have been waiting and wondering, what is this promised rescue, this promised salvation from the Lord going to look like? On Christmas, it was revealed in this baby, this child of Bethlehem who was given the name that means the Lord's salvation. Rescue from the God of the promise, the God who promised to punish sin, who promised to forgive sin. It would come from the Savior, from the Savior Jesus, who would step into our place and be that substitute that God had planned all along. See, that's what Jesus came to do, to be our substitute. And he did it from the moment he was conceived. From the moment he was born, he was under God's law, just like we have to live under God's law. In fact, that's why you see today in our gospel reading what happened. He was circumcised. That was part of God's ceremonial law for his people at the time. And so even as an infant, he was shedding his blood for us, not to remove our sin at that time, but to keep God's law in our place. Even as a newborn, Jesus was doing the things perfectly that we could never do perfectly, and he did them for us. And he continued that throughout his whole life, about 33 years. 33 years of perfect obedience to his Father, 33 years of perfect devotion, 33 years where he never spoke a cruel word or did an unkind thing to anyone. 33 years where Jesus did everything that we could never do. And at the end of those 33 years, he took that perfect life and he offered it up on the cross. And he allowed all of our impure thoughts and our unkind words, all of the sins of the past year, the sins that are coming this year, he allowed all of it to be pinned to himself. And the only innocent person to ever live suffered hell and died on the cross for all those things. And the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, he found his satisfaction at the cross. Because it was at the cross that God's perfect justice and righteous anger over sin and his unfathomable love for sinners met with Jesus right in the middle. And you see, that's why we can look at this Savior and look at his name and understand that it's more than just a name. It's who he is. It's what he's done for us. And we can be confident that it's for us, that it really counted. Not only did Jesus say it is finished when he died on the cross, but his Father, what did he do? 3 days later, he raised him from death, exalted him to the highest place. We heard Paul talk about that in our second lesson today, where Paul wrote, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's why Jesus is the name above every name, because our Savior lived up to that name for us and for our eternal welfare. Jesus is the Lord's salvation for us, and only Jesus. In fact, isn't that what God tells us in his word? He says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Jesus is the only name we can and should trust. Jesus is the name that assures us our sins are forgiven. Whatever we've done this past year, whatever's coming in the new year, the name of Jesus assures us that we stand righteous before God. The name of Jesus assures us, even better than that, that our names are written in the book of heaven. Jesus is salvation from the Lord. My prayer, brothers and sisters, as you go into this new year, maybe just think a little bit more now about that beautiful name of our Savior Jesus. As you read it in his word, as you use that name to call on him in prayer, recognize that the one who's been given that name did exactly what his name foretold. He was our salvation, and he will be our salvation. What's in a name? Some people might not have a lot of use for names, but when it comes to the name of our Savior Jesus, we know everything is packed into that name. To God be the glory. Amen. Please stand. Now to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and thanks and power forever and ever. Amen. We join to confess our Christian faith now using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, Father the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made,